Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Justin Goodbread with Heritage Business Advisors. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, Lee. How are you, brother?
I am doing well. Before we get too far into things, tell us about Heritage Business Advisors. How are you serving folks?
Sure. We work with small business owners nationally with the idea of teaching them how they can double their net worth every 3 to 5 years. That's our mission. That's what we try to do. And we serve them through comprehensive planning, specified and focused in value growth, showing them how to increase the intangible value of their company.
So now, can you define that a little bit more? Like, how are you defining that?
Sure. Value growth. It's a simple scenario. So we've all seen an appraisal done, perhaps of our business over a piece of real estate. But whenever you have an appraisal, there's something behind the scenes that is causing that number to be generated. What we do is we backwards engineer the appraisal and we say, okay, here are 54 or 256 points that drive the appraised value of a company, and the value needs to increase. Typically, it needs to increase because the business owner hasn't saved enough money out of their business, or it needs to increase because they need to have more profits come from the business, et cetera. So what we do is we value the company, and then we figure out the areas that we need to focus in order to cause that value, that transitional or transferable value to increase to help the business owner reach their objective.
So now, like you mentioned, there's 256 kind of levers to pull.
Yes, sir. There's a lot. Depends on which type of business we're in. Where we seem to focus on is in the service business. Typically, business owners producing less than $10 million a year in revenue. And in the service business, we can track about 256 points that make up the value. And they're kind of boiled down to 8 key areas. So there's 8 key areas that we focus in, and each of those 8 areas are delineated even more detail that we can use to help, as you say, pull the levers to drive that value up.
So now, what is kind of the low hanging fruit? Are there some things that a person could do or a firm executive can do to kind of raise the value on their own, or is this something they need an expert to advise them?
Yeah, no, it's something you can do. Anybody can do this on your own. Oftentimes, though, what we see is we business owners run around putting out fires. We're chasing our tail many times, working in our business versus working on our business. So, you know, I even have my own coach for my businesses that I own and operate because I need somebody to point it to the outside. But to answer the question, I want you to think of a water hose. You know, years and years we've used these things, and oftentimes in the summertime they get intertwined and tangled up in kinks and knots, and sometimes it just the water doesn't flow through them too well unless we straighten them out and create no objections or no problems within that water hose to get maximum capacity. The same thing happens in our business. Where in the business are we getting roadblocks or getting pinch points? Are we getting a flow throughput that's causing problems to where it's not working efficiently? So what I typically see, Lee, is it typically falls apart in marketing or in operations. Marketing and operations are two of the low-hanging fruits, two of the weak areas that we see pretty consistently in small businesses.
All right, let's take them one at a time. So like if what's a marketing problem look like for most people?
Most small business owners don't know who their target market is. If I ask, you know, what is the idealistic customer? And tell me all about them. Where do they shop? What are their buying habits? What are their personality profiles? What are their religious orientation, their political orientation? Most small business owners don't have an idea. We start our business off with this idea that we're going to sell a widget or a service, and we'll take anybody in that can fog a mirror. But as we grow our companies, the more hyper-focused we can get on that perfect client, the better our marketing results and marketing dollars can be, and ultimately the profit margin can be.
So it's not necessarily a messaging problem. It's kind of an identifying your ideal customer problem.
That's typically the top area I see, Lee, but it also dives down to messaging. It falls down into communication as far as verbal versus audible versus kinetic. I mean, it goes into just several different ways there. It goes into how does the team internally message the product or service. I mean, it could go into several different areas. I think in the marketing area, there's about 40 different areas that you can dive into to try to solve that particular area and strengthen it.
So now when you come in to work with a customer, are you typically trying to make a big change in one of those 256 things, or are you trying to make a little change in lots of those areas?
What we first start off with is we break those 256 things into eight key areas. So let me kind of explain this. In business, we look at eight areas. You have planning. What are you going to do in the future? Leadership. Who's going to help you do it? Sales and marketing. How are you going to sell the product and how are you going to get people to understand the product you're selling? Operations is how you're going to actually deliver the product or service you're dealing with. And then you have people. Who is the team and how strong is your bench that's behind you? Then you have finance. That's everything, including financials on ARAP to collections, et cetera. Then you get into legal or insurance, those three, eight things. So whenever we do an assessment, we're actually diving into each of those eight fundamental areas. And depending on the business, depending on the owner's goals, depending on the timing of the market which we're in, we use software that helps us identify which area or which areas, plural, to focus on. And it could be a little bit of all of them, or we may hyper-focus into one key area. It just depends, Lee, on the bigger picture that we're dealing with.
But if your objective is to double the value every few years, it sounds like that this has to be kind of methodically, relentlessly pursued in all the areas.
I love the relentless pursuit. That's the thing that we actually have in our office here, relentless pursuit. You actually took it right off our wall, brother. Yeah, you actually have to move all the areas. And the way we dissect it down is try to identify three of the subsets, three key stones or big rocks, as Jim Collins talks about, three big rocks that you can control throughout the next calendar year. And then we'll break those three things into 27 action items that the team or the owner or the associates outside, maybe subcontractors, et cetera, can work on. Once we accomplish those three big areas, then ultimately you're going to have some weaknesses somewhere else. So it's constantly improvement and process management.
And then when you're working with your client, is this something that is a, like you mentioned, coaching? Is this more coaching where you're kind of saying, okay, this is the area that we should be working on, and then you maybe give them some homework or you give them some to-dos, and then you follow back up to hold them accountable? Is that the relationship, or is it a done-for-you service where you and your team attack some of those areas?
It's a blended approach. I find that if I often tell business owners to go do something, what I hear if someone tells me to do something is, what else can I do? I'm bored. I've got too much on my plate right now. I'm not bored. I can't take on anything else. So the idea that we're going to tell business owners, hey, you need to go do that, that's like telling me to diet and exercise. Yeah, I got it. I know I need to do that. So what we have to do is we have to give the advice, but then we also have to show how the advice needs to be carried out, whether it's coaching internally, whether it's coaching externally, whether it's bringing in colleagues to help do particular areas of the work, or using the team members or hiring team members in to come do the work. So it's not one or all, Lee. It's a little bit of both.
But when you're having these meetings with your clients, how are you holding them accountable to, you know, the actions? And like at some point, the rubber has hit the road. There has to be action. It can't just be us, you know, whiteboarding and talking about all these great things that may or may not happen in the future. Somebody has to do some work at some point, and change has to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we do that as part of the strategic planning process. So our process typically works in this way. We start off with an assessment. Depending on the business, it'll be 54 points or 256 points. And that lets the business owner see the areas of weakness that they're dealing with. Once we identify the three big areas that we need to focus on throughout the quarter of the calendar year, then we're going to delineate those three areas down to 27 action items that need to take place. And we're going to assign who is responsible for those 27 action items, who is responsible for, and when are we targeting to get it done? Based on that information through the strategic plan, now we know who is accountable, who has the authority and the responsibility to make these things happen. There comes a little bit of a coaching, almost like on the old football days when you had the coach blowing the whistle at you saying, good, Brad, get your butt in gear. You're going to have some of that from a good coach, but you're also going to have the coach who can come alongside and say, hey, here's how we do this. Let me show you. Ultimately, ultimately what we want to see is the value of the business increase. So throughout that strategic plan, as we knock out those areas that we need to focus on, we're going to reassess the business yet again in the calendar year as we go through our process cycle. And we're going to see, hey, your business was worth $1 million at the beginning of this, and now we've grown it to 1.1 million. Yeah, 10% increase. Yeah, but if you had you done your work that we asked you to do and had we done the work that we all knew we should have done, it could have been 1.4. So it becomes a coaching problem that the coach has to motivate, the coach has to teach, the coach has to sometimes do the work. And you're right, the rubber does have to meet the road. What we've discovered, though, Lee, is it's not a problem with business owners in terms of getting the work done if they know how to do it and if they can see the results that their work is yielding.
Now, how do you handle a situation that's happened this year with the pandemic when there's a crisis that comes in that probably blew up a lot of people's plans, you know, when March and April rolled around?
Yeah, just like every other business, we had to pivot. So I ended up dealing with the CARES Act in detail, the Secure Act, and several of the other Family First rules. And we ended up being crisis managers, board of advisors for our business owners. Some of the business owners, actually several of our business owners are having banner years because they pivoted during the process. And we went back to the drawing board and said, where are we at strength-wise in the business and what can we move around? Where are we at weakness in the area? What do we need to strengthen up? So we pivot just like anybody else does. And in the COVID situation, man, we dealt a lot with financials this year. Financials ended up, I mean, marketing, yeah, we needed some of that. We're actually going to have that a lot in Q1 of next year. But financials, having to structure the company so that we can get maximum PPP loans or idle loans or various things in order to strengthen these companies going forward is where we had to pivot, just like every other business owner out there did.
And then how do you kind of help them forecast into next year when there's so much uncertainty?
Every business sect, every SIC code out there is in a different environment at this point. We have clients that are looking at next year is going to be their banner year, the best year ever. We have clients the next year who are going to look at some dismal positions. So first thing we have to identify is what type of business are we dealing with? Are we going into a good year or are we going to be dealing with a dismal year? Regardless of where we're at, there's one thing that all of us can do. We can make 2021 the best year ever. We can. I said this statement on national radio many times throughout this COVID crisis that I will bet on the American entrepreneur every day of the week. We're the type of people that will charge hell with a water pistol. We have the tenacity and the ability just to get things done. But oftentimes we don't know what to do because we're so caught up in the day-to-day grind of our business. We're ready, like the old saying says, ready, fire, aim. We want to ready, aim, fire. So what we're focusing on right now with the hundreds of clients that we serve nationally is let's take a moment in January. Let's take a selah moment, an old Hebrew word. Let's take a pause and plan out what we're going to do within our respective businesses in 2021. Let's figure out exactly what needs to be accomplished in order for it to be the best year ever. We learned a lot of weaknesses. We learned a lot of areas that perhaps we were really strong in 2020. Now let's capitalize on those and let's prepare for 2021.
Now, I agree with you about the American economic engine and the folks that are driving it, the entrepreneur and small business owners. We're very resilient. We're very creative. And, you know, we solve problems. That's what we do. We're good at it. And that's, I think, one of our superpowers. Right. Now, every crisis has opportunity kind of built into it. How do you help the folks that maybe are kind of, you know, really hurt by this, where they are in a position where it is going to be difficult for them to pivot? Is it, how do you kind of get them to, you know, they might have to reboot, they might have to start from scratch in a different kind of business or industry?
Yeah, again, it depends on this particular situation. We had a client that their finances, so part of our company, we manage personal finances for business owners, because oftentimes that is like the area that we lack discipline in. And we were managing personal finances for this restaurant in the Midwest in a locale, and COVID hit and sincere shutdown of the town and no one was visiting the restaurant. Instantly, we pivoted. This particular restaurant, instead of having a lobby or a dine-in facility, they went to a call-in only but they didn't make any money there. What they ended up making money on was actually becoming a distributor of goods, believe it or not. They actually ended up buying toilet paper from their distributors and reselling toilet paper, napkins, common goods that were in short supply back in the beginning of the pandemic. And because of that, this company has now completely pivoted away from the restaurant industry, and now they're in competition with their supplier. So every business is going to be different. It ultimately comes back to, what does that business owner want to accomplish? Are they trying to fill a gap? We call it a wealth gap, where they have to grow a certain amount of revenue in order for them to sell off and be financially independent. Are they trying to accomplish a dream? Maybe it's to start something new or create a new widget out there. It just depends, Lee, on where the business is. Inevitably, as I said before, where there's a will, there's a way. We are going to have the tenacity to charge hell with a water pistol. It just becomes, can we focus on what it is that we want to accomplish? And I've seen in my 25 years of working with business owners and being a business owner myself, as somebody who's already started and sold three businesses for a profit, that if I can gain clarity and I can get some direction, man, get out of my way. And that is our American entrepreneur. That is the engine, as you said, that drives our business. So I think it's oftentimes just gaining clarity, brother.
Now, explain to our listeners how the different sides of your business work together, Heritage Investors and Heritage Business Advisors.
Sure. We have three different companies combined within our organization. Heritage Investors, we believe that every business owner needs to have their personal finances in order. My wife calls it pillow money. She wants to make sure that no matter what happens at work, she is taken care of. Many times we business owners, we will make an unbelievable profit in our business and we'll turn around, put all the money back into our business to our own personal detriment. That's scary. And here's why. And I wrote about this in my book, The Ultimate Sale. And that is that roughly only about 4% of us business owners actually sell our companies for what we think they're worth. And only 13% of business owners actually sell their company. So we look at personal finance saying that if you can never sell your company, if you can never cash it in, pass it down to a key employee, a venture capitalist, whatever it is, that you need to be able to be solvent in and of yourself personally. That way you're not living off Social Security or you're not working until your 80s still within this business. So we always start out with personal finances. We want to determine what is the gap in your wealth that your business has to make up. We call it a wealth gap. We know where you're at today and we have to figure out where you need to be and what time you need to be there. And ultimately that business is going to be the catalyst which helps drive the wealth. So Heritage Investors does the personal side. It manages everything from investments to insurances to personal planning, tax planning, et cetera. The other side of the company is Heritage Business Advisors, which is what we use to fill that gap. That is where value growth and exit planning come into play to show business owners that, hey, we can build an asset that outperforms Wall Street. I'm not a big fan of Wall Street. We can build an asset that outperforms Wall Street only if we can design it to where it can be, we can move from an illiquid asset to a liquid asset upon a triggering event or a sale or something. So Heritage Business Advisor works in that area. And then our third company is Financially Simple. Financially Simple is an education portal. If you go to financiallysimple.com, we have hundreds of articles, almost thousands of articles, thousands of subscribers on our email list. We have podcasts, we have videos that are there teaching business owners, here's exactly what you do to increase your marketing, to increase the results of your marketing. Here's exactly what you do to increase the value of your company. So those three businesses come together with a passion that I have. I hope you can hear my voice, Lee, that man, I want to see the economic engine. I love that what you said. I want to see our business owners excel. I'm tired of the statistic that 80% of businesses never sell. I'm tired of that. And I'm tired of seeing that 80% of business owners have their net worth tied up in their business and they work in there till their 60s, 70s, 80s, and sometimes 90s because we didn't plan right. That's a shame. So that's my passion. I want to change the paradigm for us.
Now, when you're working with a company, and like you said, most people in their head, they overvalue the value of their company because they're in it so much. They have no context really of what it is or what it could be. But when you kind of start having them focus on the, you know, having the end in mind and looking at where, how they want the story to end and then kind of working backwards and building the roadmap to get there. Is that like a big light bulb moment for a lot of folks where they're like, they didn't even think in those terms or they didn't see like the whole game board really?
It is. It is. You're exactly right. Where I see the biggest light bulbs come in that area you just spoke about. Number one, people, myself included, I'm going to put myself in here with you guys. We often think our business is worth more than it actually is. In fact, in my second book that comes out in February, it's called Your Baby's Ugly. My dad used to say, son, you never tell a woman her baby's ugly. Sometimes you have to. So we often think our business is worth more than it is. That's a huge mistake for us business owners. And candidly, Michael Gerber wrote about this in his book called The E-Myth. Many times we end up creating a job and we end up being the lunatic working for ourselves, and no one wants to buy a job. So one of the biggest things I see is that people don't know what their business is really worth, and they think they're going to be able to sell it for some magical number, which is just non-reality, just hokey. The second thing I see is, Lee, we don't know as business owners how much money we actually make. We see how much money we put in our personal accounts, but when we look back, we know that there are certain perks that we get as business owners. For example, your business may provide you with health insurance, a company car, and a cell phone. Well, the day that you're no longer in business, who's paying the health insurance, your car payment, and your cell phone bill? And those are simple examples. And I've seen business owners where they receive so much money out of their business in fringe benefits or other types of perks that they don't really know how much it costs to live. And so those are two big areas. And once you dissect that down, then it's almost like gravity hits with a ton of bricks. And I've seen it hundreds of times to where we business owners get serious to that point and say, holy cow, as my dad said, holy cow, Batman. We now have to do something. We have to take our business serious. We realize that we're not going to make up our wealth through the stock market. It ain't going to happen. I mean, you can tip 5, 6, 7, 10%, whatever the number is. So now we end up trying to focus on our business because it is literally the answer to our gap in our wealth that we need in order for us to hit our financial independence, our retirement, whatever it may be that we're striving for. So I think those three things, you identify one, I just identified two additionals, are the ones that fall like a ton of bricks on people.
Now, what's your personal best when it comes to helping a client kind of get the value that the most out of their business? What's kind of the record for you guys?
Ask me that question differently so I don't misspeak on what you're trying to ask me. I'm sorry.
You've been working with lots of businesses, I'm sure, through a completion of a sale. So what was the biggest maybe multiple or amount of money that you've been helped a client get from when they started working with you to when they ultimately sold it?
Yeah, no, very good question. I got to be careful on how I answer that because of the regulators. So let me try to answer it with a story, okay? I had a client that years ago, about 6 years ago, he called me, went to West Virginia, where this gentleman's at, and he said, Justin, I want to sell my business. I've done mid-50s. Very sizable business, produced really good revenue, about $700,000 in net in EBITDA at that point. And I said, great, let me see your financials. He had nothing. I said, okay, you don't have financials. How do you run your business? On the back of a napkin, son. Ultimately ended up being that all he had was equipment that had been depreciated in value. And there really wasn't a multiple, using your term, at that particular point that he could sell. Let's fast forward now 6 years. He had a business at that time and a little bit of assets. Here we are now. We just received a fair market value that is about 6 times what he had at that particular point. In addition to that, at that time, 6 years ago, he had about $300,000 in liquid assets. Now he's sitting on about $4.5 million because of tax planning, business planning, et cetera, over the last 6 years. And he now has a business that he's received 3 offers on and 1 is going to close. So it's hard to put an exact number. I can't answer that, Lee, because of regulations, because then I have to go through all the worst, best, and average. I don't know all those numbers off the top of my head, but I can tell you that if you put your mind to something and you devise a plan and you look at life in your business comprehensively, that you can put a business where it is highly attractive. And we've seen dozens of businesses transact, whereas before, years before, they were never transacted.
Well, I think that one of the main values that you provide folks is this kind of roadmap. And by looking at things from where you want it to be and how you want the story to end, you're able to devise a plan and come up with a roadmap that's going to get them closer to where they'd like to be rather than them just working and hoping at the end of the day they got there.
Absolutely. The way I look at it is coaching. You know, every professional athlete has a coach. Most of your large business owners have a coach. In the small business world, whenever I first had my first business back when I was 18 years old, I was looking for somebody who could tell me, hey, here's what you do with your business and your life. And I went to Wall Street and they wanted to sell me investments. I went to the insurance world to sell me insurance. The CPA wanted to sell me tax returns. The lawyer wanted to sell me some documents. But no one was around me that could say, hey, here's how it all works together. ultimately I found the people that actually showed me how it all worked together, but they worked in the lower middle market, which is typically, you know, $5 million in sales up to about $100 million in sales. But in the small business market, those of us who produce less than $10 million a year, man, there's not that many people. And so what I've discovered and what's been the catalyst for so much change with business owners from our experience is once you can bring your whole world together and have a person or team across the desk from us, proverbially speaking, that whenever life throws us this coronavirus or whatever else comes our way, that we have somebody who's on the same side of the table with us, walking us through and saying, hey, here's how it's going to affect you personally, financially, health-wise, whatever. And here's exactly what you need to do in your business to make it all come together. Man, I think in my avenue, that is what drives the biggest value is someone who as a fiduciary, looks at our businesses and looks at our passions, our desires, and shows us how to get there.
Yeah, like we say here at Business Radio X, you know, with the right partner, you can do anything.
Absolutely.
So now if somebody wants to talk to you or somebody on your team and have a more substantive conversation, what are the best coordinates to get a hold of you?
Sure. I direct everybody to financiallysimple.com. Financially Simple, that's our marketing arm. You're welcome to view anything. We've got it broken out to wherever people are in business, whether they're just getting started or wanting to get out, and anywhere in between. You can go there, read, you can listen, you can watch, you can download studies, copy books. It's all there on that portal. And there's a little section that says, hey, connect with us. And we'll be more than happy to connect with you. Also find us on social media, any of the major channels. You look for Justin Goodbread and you'll find us out there as well.
Good stuff. Well, Justin, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing important work and we appreciate you.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate what you do, brother.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.